Hello, and welcome to the Student Ministry Conversations podcast with your hosts, Brent Aiken, David Pruitt, and Russell Martin. This podcast is all about equipping, encouraging, and inspiring youth pastors weekly with topics that are brought to the table by youth pastors from all over the world. And now, here's your host for this week, Russell Martin.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. If this is your first time listening to us, we want to welcome you and invite you over to the website, studentministryconversations.org. We have all sorts of things on there, previous episodes, some show notes, blog posts, and other things. Our hope is that through our conversation today, you are inspired, encouraged, and that what you hear here can help you and your ministry as you continue to be a better student pastor wherever you are serving or whatever you're doing. My name is Russell Martin, and I am your host for this episode, and I am sitting down with Brandon Hare. And Brandon, you are a previous podcast guest on here, and we will make sure and send that link down there so you can check out his previous podcast on student ministry leadership and something with, we've had several student ministry leadership podcasts, but diving into that. But for those who haven't heard that and are going to go back and listen to it, but can you give us just a little bit of introduction to who you are?
Yeah, absolutely. So I currently serve as the next gen pastor overseeing all kids ministry and student ministry at my church, Calvary Christian Church in Bellevue, Nebraska. That's kind of a more recent change within the last 9-10 months. So it's definitely been a learning process going from just student ministry into the kids ministry world a little bit. But I've learned a lot and I really love it. Love what I get to do, the people I get to work with. But I'm still a youth pastor at heart. You know what I mean? And so I love doing stuff like this and just kind of hope to encourage and help some more youth pastors stay in the game.
Well, that is a growing trend that we're seeing. And some of it's out of necessity, some of it's out of mission. Mm-hmm. We actually have a previous podcast, and we'll link it to, that talks about next gen ministry and kind of what that looks like. And I think we need to make sure we're leaning into those spaces. And maybe some of the things is equipping some youth pastors to do children's ministry and what that looks like. But what we're talking about today, though, is something that covers youth pastor, children's pastor, church secretary, senior pastor, whatever. And that is setting up your own personal values and your own ways that you are able to look at ministry, look at life, look at your faith, and the things that you instill in yourself. So why don't you tell us a little bit about why was this an important topic? When I reached out to you, you said, hey, here's something I would love to talk about. Why did you want to talk about this?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember, so I've been at Calvary for about 5 years. And then 2 years before that, I was at a church called Front Range out in Colorado. And that was sort of a 2-year temporary support raised position where I was raising my own salary, doing my own things and trying to figure out for me and my family, really what was next in ministry for me. And I went through some tough seasons there of just kind of questioning my own value a little bit, questioning what my calling was and if I even had anything left to give in ministry. And honestly, I almost stepped down and walked away. And one of my leaders at the time asked me to kind of create a sort of a course or like a afternoon class for our congregation on values. And I was like, I have no idea how to do that. I don't know what that means. And he's like, oh, we should probably start there. And he gave me a list of like 300 words and was like, narrow this down to 5. And I'm like, 5? Yep, no more than 5. And so it was overwhelming. It took me a long time to figure out how to do that, how to like narrow that list of 300 down to 5. And at the same time, he threw the wrench into the system. Like if something like resonates with you that's not on the list, you can add it. And so now all of a sudden we go from 300 to as many words as I can creatively come up with, right? And so that was a really hard process. But at the end of it, I felt like I finally knew who I was and what I needed to pursue in order to like find life and ministry again. And so it took me several hours to really narrow that down. And there's a lot of like burden and guilt that comes with crossing things off the list, right? Because they're all valuable, but they're not all valuable to me. And so how do I like build my life around these values or these guiding principles so that I can find joy in whatever I do. And honestly, from the time that I identified those values and really started like holding firm to them, I've found that I have more purpose, more passion, more energy than ever before. And typically, if I get to a point where I'm like, I don't know how if I can do this anymore, I look back at those five and go, oh, this is missing, and figure out how to bring that back in.
So had he done this work before and he was kind of helping you to do that? Or how did he know to do the 300 word thing?
Yeah, I should probably ask him that question. he had a list, you know, and it was my goal in that was to kind of walk people through it. So he had done some of the work previously and had identified his own values, but it was kind of just like, here's a list, good luck. And so I've over time, like have sort of crafted more of a process around that of like, here's step one, here's step two. And instead of getting an overwhelming list of 300 words, you still get the list of 300 words, but at the same time, it's more like, we'll start from square one and we're going to narrow that down in a, you know, a logical way to help you get to where you want to go. I also changed up some of his rules a little bit. And so don't tell him.
maybe he'll watch this. Maybe he won't.
There you go.
So you talked about some of the mental anguish that you went through and crossing some of those off. And I would like you to kind of share some of the process later on.
Absolutely. I'd love to.
But kind of what, talk us through some of that mental anguish and some of the things that you were, you know, battling with or why was it difficult?
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many values on that list that that feel like they should be important, you know, and I think that, you know, even today, a lot of people's personal values are whatever we've been told they should be in the moment. And so they kind of change and shift, and whatever's the value of the day is kind of thrust on us. And I think there was a lot of that in the process. You know, I'm looking at things like patience, which is super valuable, but it's not one of my five leading principles. Like, do I have patience? Sometimes. Should I continue to develop that? Yes. But is it like the lens through which I'm going to make all my decisions? Probably not. Now, on the other hand, like integrity is one of my five values. And so that means a lot to me. Like, I want people to know that they see the same person in front of them as they do that goes home at the end of the day. Right. And so that's great. That's something that we can get behind. Right. But that slot costs me other values. Right. And so we have to decide what's important to us. And then we have to be okay with saying like all these other things are not. And the great thing about it is that even though they're not important, they're not our values, they usually are someone's. And when we say like, oh, I'm going to pursue these things at the cost or forsaking all others, we actually get out of the way of people who truly care about those things and allow them more freedom to like live out their values, if that makes sense.
So when you're saying, you know, patience isn't a value, it's not that it's not important, but it's just, if you had to focus in on you know, one thing or other, that's going to, you know, integrity is going to ride. Do you find,
right,
and were you thinking about this? Cause I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking that there's probably some values that if you think high enough that you're going to, you know, if you think, you know, whatever that value is, that it automatically the others kind of come into play. Like, you know, we talk about, I think it was the Atomic Habits or there's another, I can't remember the book. I'm going to get it wrong. That's a great book, but that talks about keystone habits. One habit that if you do it, you automatically do these things. Did you find, is some of that in those value work as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's part of the process of how I help myself and help other people narrow it down is the first thing you kind of do is you go through this list and you just cut stuff. Like if it doesn't speak to you right away, just cut it. And usually you don't really feel bad about that because you know that like, this isn't something that I'm super, passionate about, right? Mm-hmm. But then as you get down and you weed it down a little bit, you'll start noticing trends and patterns. And in those trends, you can kind of group these words together. And in grouping them together, you can, like you said, you can kind of see like how this one relates to this one. And then it's just about finding, you know, which one of these really speaks to me. And you go from there and you know that it's kind of a package deal at some point. So yeah, saying that there's 300 words sounds intimidating, but really, as you look at it, you'll notice that there's kind of key categories. And so I think each of my five values probably represents four to six that were survivors to that you know, last stage.
All right. Well, yeah. So you started with the process a little bit. What else do you do? What is this whole process? You start, you give me 300 words. I got 300 words in front of me. What happens?
Yeah. And so we should probably back up just a little bit and start before that, because obviously, like, sometimes when you get sit down with a list of 300 words, like I said, it's a little bit intimidating. And I think, like, finding values is kind of like going on a road trip. And the first thing we want to do is make sure we know where we're going and why we're going there and how we're going to get there. And so I, you know, always want to start with prayer, because the cool thing about personal values is they're not, you're not trying to make them up. You're trying to discover them because they already exist. Like, you already have personal values and you're just trying to identify them. And so the best way to do that is to start by asking, like, the God who created us, right? Like, to speak to us and give us some wisdom in that. And so I always like, I start with a prayer exercise where it's sort of an opening prayer, sit in silence for a few minutes, listen to what God has to say. And then I encourage people to start recalling, like, past experiences. And it's kind of like, start thinking of 2 to 3 things or some of those experiences that really fired you up, that got you really, really excited, or maybe even really, really angry. And you're like, oh, I was angry because this thing was violated. And that really helps identify some of the values. I think if we start there, and then, you know, closing prayer for wisdom, that kind of stuff. I think if we start there, it really gives us a good roadmap to success. From there is where we get the list out, right? First step is to just cut. Like I said, just go through and just cross off anything that's not you. And you normally know those right away. Like I said, you don't really feel bad about it. You're just like, nope, that's not me. And you move on. Next step, cut some more. Like, go back through it again. This time you got to be a little bit ruthless. You can't, you know, it's easy sometimes to, like I said, get caught up in, like, culture or pressure or things like, oh, my best friend is super passionate about this thing. I should be too. You got to get a little bit more ruthless than that. Then you go to the common themes and sort of categorize them into 5 sort of key categories. And from there, you're going to kind of figure out which one really speaks to you. And I like to take it a step further and make statements around each value, because you know, our language is very ambiguous. And so if I tell you that my top value is faith, it's like, well, faith in what? Faith in God, faith in Allah, faith in nature. Like, what's your faith then? And so I do some little, like, short, simple statements that really communicate what that value means to me. So, for example, one of my values is adventure. And the statement says, live a story worth telling and invite others to co-author. And so I want to, like, have a life that is full of adventure. I want to take risks. I want to have fun. It's 4 out of 5. It's not like the top or anything, but, you know, see, I'm doing it already. I feel bad about one of my values because I feel like it shouldn't be, right? But yeah, those little statements really help clarify, because if you don't define it, someone will define it for you. And then you don't have values. You just have a list of words.
Yeah. You talked about some of those cultural values and friends' values in your own.
Sure.
What are some of those that you kind of struggled with, if you can remember when you did it?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's hard to say this, like, out loud sometimes, because diversity, like, is one of those huge cultural values right now that is not as high on my list as I feel like sometimes it should be. You know, I do value it, and there's places in my values that speak to it, like relationships. Like, I really value relationships, and I don't gatekeep those relationships based on anything other than, you know, do we get to know each other? Do we connect? Right. Mm-hmm. Same with integrity. Like, I feel like integrity speaks to, like, I want to be a person who is trustworthy and who loves others and all that kind of stuff. But really, diversity wasn't one of my top 5. And that's hard sometimes to realize. But the good thing is, like I said, it really, really matters to somebody. And they're really pushing that ball forward. And I can, like, come alongside them with the values that I have and help support that. And then we can accomplish way more together than we can by, like, me trying to do my own thing and push diversity, even though it's not, like, a super big passion of mine, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it just got me thinking through, one, I'm thinking through my list of, and I've done similar exercises with those type things and in different classes and such, but just started thinking about, you know, narrowing it down to the 5 and, like, the benefit of, you know, not that not that all these things, other things aren't important, but you know, this is what I'm going to make at the end of the day. So, I mean, I can see this being an evaluative tool for you to look at the end of the day or the week or the month, or how do you look back and see what is your review process and what are your criteria for kind of saying, hey, I met this, because you're right. It can be pretty ambiguous. Yeah. You can say, yeah, I'm adventurous. I was over the speed limit or whatever, but what is kind of the review process you use to think through those and see if you're actually doing what you said you would do?
Yeah. I think that's something I could probably get better with if I'm being honest. Like for me, it's usually, it's one of those things where you don't really notice it until something's off. And so a lot of times if I feel like something's off in my life, like if I feel like I'm getting down or leaning towards depressed or whatever, it's normally like a good indicator that something's off, and I can look back at those five values and usually you can tell like which one's missing. Like I said, one of mine is adventure. One of my wife's is whatever the opposite of adventure is, you know, and that's okay. Like, again, that speaks to like, all right, I can encourage her to have a little more fun and she can encourage me to not do something stupid. Right. And she does a great job of that. That one's the one that's typically like going to fall by the wayside because it's one that we don't have in common. And so a lot of times it's like a ship, right? If you're not paying attention to it, you're going to drift off. And that one is one that drifts off often. So I can look back and say, oh, maybe I just need to have a little bit of fun. You know, even today, I was sitting at home trying to work on a sermon for tomorrow night, which should be way closer to done than it is at this point, but been having some struggles lately with that. And my wife's like, maybe you should just like watch TV or play a video game or something. And I'm like, okay, maybe I should stop, have a little bit of fun, and then come back to this and see if something comes to me, you know? And so that was one of those key indicators of like, hey, this might be off a little bit. And that's a, you know, micro example of like, hey, just go playing video games, not really like adventure necessarily. It's not the same as like going for a backpacking trip, but at the same time, it is something that gets me outside of the norm of like head down work and gets me to laugh a little bit, have a little bit more fun, and then I can come back refreshed. And that kind of stuff normally works. So, you know, same if my integrity's off, like most people around me are going to know, usually they're going to be like, hey, is something going on? And you're like, maybe. A lot of it is just what's the condition of my heart and how am I responding to others? It's funny because I talked about patience not being one of my values. It is a good indicator of if my values are off. Because if I don't have patience, like with my kids, with my family, something's off. And so that's what it is. I need to figure out how to be more proactive. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I said I could see that being, you talk about integrity, but you know, patience is probably plays into that integrity part of am I being patient with those who I said. I've done, so we've had a couple people on here talking about Enneagram stuff, and I've done a lot of that. And so I see some of the same warning signs, but I could definitely see how those could go together. But one of the things that you mentioned was other people knowing. So, I mean, I haven't done the value work. I mean, I've done some stuff, but I haven't done the specific thing. I do have the Enneagram work I did and with our staff. And so I have a couple of staff and my wife who've done that, and they can look and see, hey, you're in stress. You know, you're doing these things kind of like you talked about that your wife called. Who do you share those with? How do you help others to help you? And how do you help others when you do this value work?
Yeah, that's really good. Cause one of the things that I say is like, hey, now that you've created your values and clarified their meanings and all this kind of stuff, everyone in your life is just going to automatically respect them and the boundaries that come with them. And that is unfortunately not how it works, right? Like if you don't put boundaries around it, if you don't communicate them, then people aren't going to respect those values. And so you have to kind of like put it out there. And I'll tell you the truth, like it's really difficult at first. I remember when I did this work, my dad and I, like, we've got a phenomenal relationship now, but it wasn't the case before. And some of the things that about our relationship would bump up against my values, and I wasn't confident to tell him. And so he didn't know that. I'm getting frustrated with him. He's getting frustrated with me, when really I just needed to have a difficult conversation and say, like, these are my values. And if you can operate within these boundaries, then we're going to get along just great. That conversation was really, really hard. And it was super awkward. And I was in counseling at the time. And I was telling my counselor, like, I don't want to do this. Like, I don't want to have this conversation. It's going to be really awkward. And she goes, well, just let it be awkward and then sit in it and then move on. And so, yeah, unfortunately, it does come with some awkward conversations. Because if you haven't been living according to those values and boundaries, people are going to be confused. Like, wait, what? Why all of a sudden? What is this? Like, what's changed? And you're like, actually, nothing's changed except for the fact that I've figured out who I am and how I need to operate to be, you know, who God's called me to be. And so, yeah, it does take some communication, some conversation, and you have to do it over and over again. And then, there's going to come times, like, nothing's ever perfect, right? Like, there's going to come times when, your values just can't line up. Just like I said, with my wife and I, like, we have opposite values when it comes to, like, adventure. And so to have a successful marriage and a successful relationship, sometimes I have to lay down that adventure value and sometimes she has to pick it up. And is that us operating in our values? No, but at the same time, like, it is us loving and supporting our other, like, our spouse, right? So if my second value is relationships and she's at the top of that list, by laying down my value of adventure, I am actually living out the value of relationship. And so it's hard to, like, navigate that sometimes, but those times we operate outside of it need to be the exception and not the rule, because once it becomes the rule, once we throw the value to the side, then it's not a value anymore because people don't respect it and people don't help you to live it out. So Lots of conversations.
Well, I was thinking too, like, if she knows those values though, then she may look and go, hey, like she did, like your example, where you were stuck and she said, hey, maybe you need to, so, I mean, I guess as people learn those about you, they can almost have their own warning lights with you. And cause I know not always, always, I don't see where I'm off or where I'm, you know, doing stuff. So have you found that in other relationships as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's people that you are close with and that you trust. You know, my dad's another example of that. And it's because we did have that hard conversation. And now he actually helps me live those values out. You know, when we live in the Midwest now, my dad and my in-laws live in the Southeast. And so when we go there, everyone's kind of like buying for time and all that kind of stuff. And he will kind of help me navigate that season of, like, okay, here's how you pour into all these relationships at the same time. And he's been great at that. My in-laws are really good at that, especially when it comes to the faith one. They're, you know, they kind of, like, champion that a lot. My mother-in-law sends morning devotions every day and stuff like that. So there's a lot of things like that with people in your life that, yeah, they'll have those warning signs with you. They'll know, and then they'll help you push forward, and they'll protect you sometimes from other people. You know, I've got some friends in my life that, you know, don't ask me to do certain things because they know that it's outside of that. And it's hard for me to tell them no. So they're going to honor my values by not even asking, you know what I mean? Yeah.
You brought up again, just that, you talk about North, or, you know, Midwest and Southeast, and,
right,
and how much geography and that would affect and come up. I can see conflicts with what's expected, even just in the United States, about where you are just culturally. In different parts. I think we're going to have a conversation later on with another future guest that's talking about youth ministry and the difference between, because they're in the Northeast,
sure,
and yeah, we're in the South. And so how those culturally, but that kind of goes into, you know, your values for your youth group as well. And
yeah,
that was one of my questions is, I've seen this type of work done, mission statements, yeah, and value statements and things like that. Like, how do you one, either teach this to your students, but also, mm-hmm, how do y'all use this in ministry as you're doing ministry? Is this something similar you can do for a group or a ministry or a church?
Absolutely. And I think actually this is one of the most valuable things that you can do as a church staff, because, like, as a church, you have values, right? Like, my church has values. My youth ministry has values. Those values line up with the church values. And then, as you know, when you have personal values, you got to measure all that stuff against each other. Because if the five values of my church are diametrically opposed to the five values of me personally, that relationship is not going to work. It just isn't. And so unfortunately, there could come a time where you evaluate these values and you realize, oh man, I am out of place. And you got to kind of act on that, you know, and same with students. If you want to, you know, have students do this work, like that's awesome. And then hopefully they can learn like, okay, I've overextended myself in every area of my life. What's important? What do I need to cut? You know, sports are huge. They're a major thing here. And so you can't like, it's really hard for students to be at church functions and sports. And so you have to determine which one of those values is higher, you know, which one ranks higher. And it's okay. You just have to be honest with yourself and figure it out. And we hope, honestly, like we always want faith to be the top of the list. And that's what we're working for in student ministry, is getting students to own their faith and value it highly. But that's just not always the case. And so sometimes it's actually better to have them understand that that value is lower than they think it is. And then they can start working on it from there.
Well, I can see that. But also when you mentioned that, I could see faith being a value, but maybe not your Wednesday night group where they've been there for 5 years and they've played all the games and heard all the stuff, and they are showing their faith in some other way, maybe through the, you know, at sports or at in other ways. So, you know, that kind of thought of those higher values and how, you know, faith may be a value, but your definition of that, well, that's something to talk about is,
that's really good.
When you define that value, like, how do you help to say, well, this is what, you know, is for you or for a youth director, is faith showing up to my program on a Wednesday night between 6 and 8 p.m.? Or is faith having that, you know, any other thoughts on that, or am I?
Yeah, no, I think that's really good. It's a good reminder. And I think it's easy for me to, you know, I'm there every Wednesday night. And so it's easy for me to limit my definition to that, at least subconsciously. And as you say that, I'm like, yeah, absolutely. That's true. You don't have to, you know, it's all about a growing relationship with Christ. And if you have community and you're connected to the body, like that's what faith looks like, you know, not necessarily like Wednesday night at 6:30. That's okay. You know, and again, it's just one of those things where like, okay, let's figure out if faith is your top value and yet you have these commitments, how do we help you live that out? And so, yeah. And then as you look at it organizationally, it's always fun to talk through values because, it's what we're putting out there, right? Like this is what they kind of rise to the top. People see it, you know, they see your values. If they don't see them in your day-to-day life, then they're not really your values. Right. And so, it's the same, like I said, with the church, like making sure that your values align with where you're at. And yeah, so it's good stuff. It's a lot of fun to do. So I'm looking at pulling up the list, like, cause you're asking me about some specifics and, like parts of the world and stuff like that. You know, like one of the things on the list is leisure. And there's definitely parts of the world that are going to value that way more highly than like power, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's not something I've ever really considered, but having you talk about like, how does it play out geographically? That's interesting. Yeah. I'd like to do some more research on that.
I've been doing a class. I'm in seminary at Asbury Seminary. I've been doing a class, world religions. And so we're looking at some of the same things, some of these things, you know, what's for one religion or for one group of people or one nation or whatever like that, how those values and priorities and things play out. So we will get in just a minute to, you know, drawing this back. This is a student ministry podcast, but, and I think this is all important. But what about, you know, one of the questions I have is, how often do you reevaluate, or how often do you, what does that process look like? Have you gone through that? What are some of the thoughts about? Cause you know, life change. Yeah. I went from being, you know, single to being married to having a child. And then we both talked about like sports and, you know, my kids doing swimming and stuff like that. So I mean, those values do probably, if not shift completely, they do kind of look differently. What do you have a process or a thought on how you kind of reevaluate those?
Yeah. As I look at mine, I look at them regularly because I literally have a note on my phone that every time I open up, I see them. Right. And so none of mine have changed since I did this work probably 7 years ago. The definitions can fluctuate a little bit. I think it's probably rare that they'll change outside of, like you said, major life stage. So when I did this work initially, I was already married with two kids. You know what I mean? So like, I do think if you're single, you're going to have one set of values, and then you may keep them into marriage, but it's probably smart to reevaluate at that point. And, you know, when you go from high school working part-time to graduating college and looking for a career, it's probably a good time to reevaluate. I would think entering into or having just come through any major life stage is probably a good time to probably really pull back and start over and just see where you land. You know, they're going to be in your head. So it's not like you can get out of it and say like, oh, just forget these completely and start from scratch. But it is good, I think, at the major life stages to reevaluate for sure. I hold the definitions a little bit more loosely. And so, you know, like I said, one of mine's relationships, and, you know, my wife's high on that list, and she has been forever. If I didn't have kids at the time, they wouldn't have been on that list. But when they were born, it's like all of a sudden, all right, cool. My kids obviously go on this list. Where did they fall on the list? Because I've got quite a few like kind of steps in that. And so, yeah, I think that you can reevaluate definitions pretty regularly. But those core values, those things that really are core to who you are probably not going to shift outside of like a major, major life change.
And I mean, I would think if your value list is high enough, like you talked about, you know, there's, yeah, you know, if you work down to those specific core, those are going to be more overreaching.
Yeah, for sure.
And be able to apply to much more situations in your life.
Absolutely.
As well. So we are just to kind of see, you talked about longevity in youth ministry with this.
Yeah.
So how does doing this work, this process, and you can talk about personally and even with your youth group, yeah, and stuff like that, how does it help create that longevity, which we know is not common right, for youth directors? Right. Even if I think it's accelerated even more. Why does this help create that longevity?
I think it really helps because you can find out if you're in alignment with whatever organization you're at. I think a lot of times, you know, youth ministry, there's a lot of reasons why the longevity is not there. And I think for a long time, you know, you could talk about pay, or you could talk about like, you know, the concept that youth pastors are just babysitters, and all that kind of stuff can go into play into like the mental game of like, you know, I feel like for a long time, youth ministry has been on the way to, you know, and people even ask, even still, I don't know how often your youth guy gets this question, but hey, are you going to be a real pastor someday? And I think a lot of that has the longevity at play. But for me at this point in my life, because I've got my values and I know that they're in alignment with what I'm doing, when I get that question, it's easy for me to say, yeah, I am. It's right now, you know, and help unpack that a little bit and let that person understand. I'm also 40. So there's that, when people are like, yeah, it's pretty much the ship has sailed for him, we think, but, you know, I think being in alignment with the organization that you're at, with the leadership that you're under, those things are super important, because if you're in alignment, you're not going to have as much conflict. You're not going to feel like an outsider. You're not going to feel like the team doesn't have your back. And then if, you know, it gets easier to go to work on a Monday morning. You wake up, you get energy from that. Cause when I'm living out my values, like those things actually give me energy. When I get a chance to have some crazy adventure, whether it's going to, you know, drive a mountain trail or just take my daughter down to Kansas City for a day, that gives me life. It gives me energy. So if I can find that in my work, then work is going to constantly give me life and give me energy. And so I think that's so important. And that's how the longevity piece works into it. Because when your values are well represented in your work, you're going to look forward to it, as opposed to like every day, it drains me a little bit, drains me a little bit. And it doesn't have to be exactly all five. I think that if you can get three or four on the job description, then you're probably going to find life. And then you just have to pay attention to, where do I get that fifth one? And it's, you know, in my relationships with my family, at home, weekend trips to Kansas City, whatever it is, you know.
So that also means you have to have a conversation with your leadership.
Absolutely.
With your pastor, those type of things. So how does that, you know, because one of the things you mentioned when you said youth pastors, you know, some people say youth pastors are just babysitters, yeah, or when you're going to be a real pastor one day. One, don't say that again, that you're already 40, you're already set, because I went to this when I was 45. So I got demoted to senior pastor from youth ministry. But both of those statements show,
yeah,
about the value of that person. Or even that, you know, if your youth pastor is babysitters and that's the mindset, I mean, that shows the values, shows their values, right. some. So you do have to have those conversations with your leaders. You have to have those conversations with your pastor. Even when you're planning, and I'm just you know, brainstorming, thinking here, when you're doing your planning for your ministry, you know, what do we value? What do I value as far as, do we focus on adventure, or do we focus on discipleship, or do we focus on, you know, worship, or what are those type things? So, you know, what are some things that you think about when you have, starting with maybe just the pastor and your church leadership, and then we can talk about youth leadership and students, stuff like that. But you know, if you're creating longevity, you've got to be on the same page, or at least, like you said, 4 out of 5 or 3 out of 5 or something on the same page, with that. So, you know, how do you approach that conversation with your leadership and your pastor? And you already done it, but we also have people listening here who are just hearing this idea for the first time, and they're like, "Hey, I want to stay where I am for a while." So, what are some of those those thoughts?
Yeah, well, I think it's probably important for me to clarify. I've never had a pastor tell me that I'm not a real pastor, so that's good. It's you know, it's usually from well-meaning congregants who want the best for me. But at any rate, and I'm like, this is the best for me, which is awesome. So I think that the old saying goes, like, the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago, right? And so the best time to have that conversation is when you're interviewing for a job. Like, to say, hey, these are my values. Does this line up with where you see the ministry going? Does this line up with the church? Now, not everybody has that luxury. Some of us are in positions that we love and we want to move forward. And honestly, if you love it and it's life-giving, it's worth the conversation, but they're probably already in line because you're already, you know, you're living it out. Now, on the other side of that, if you are finding that you're having a hard time hanging in there, and there is a lot of energy drain, then that's probably a good indicator that something's off, and you got to have that conversation. And so I would encourage anyone who needs to have that conversation to go to whoever their leadership is, whether if it's an executive pastor or senior pastor, whoever it is, and just say, hey, this is kind of what I've been feeling. Can we talk about your values and my values and figure out where the misalignment is and see if we can get these things to line up a little bit better? And I think always going into that conversation with humility of knowing, like, as a youth pastor, like, I have a vision for what student ministry at my church should look like, but that vision is birthed out of what the senior pastor's vision for the church is. If those things are off, like, this might be a little bit hard to hear, that God has entrusted the senior pastor with that church and with that vision. He's accountable to God and you're accountable to him. And so if it's not in alignment, you kind of got to lean his way. And if you can't do that, the best thing to do is to have the conversation of, does this relationship still make sense? And that's hard. Like, that's hard to hear. And I know that. And I don't want to encourage anybody to quit their jobs. Like, I would hate for that to happen as a result of this podcast. But at the same time, in order to honor the vision of the house, like, either your heart has to change, their heart has to change, or together you guys have to come up with a middle ground. So.
Well, but I think that probably puts some actual words and process to something people feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when they do a big game or a game night, and somebody in the church or the pastor complains, or, you know, whatever it is that happens that they do, they're doing too much games, or they're in too much, or they're too serious or whatever like that.
Right.
Like, if you have those values and you can articulate those and the church can articulate those, leadership or pastor or whatever, then you can at least say, hey, this is where we're conflicting.
Right.
You know, and you've put words and actionable conversation to it, as opposed to they just don't understand me, or they just do whatever they want or whatever like that.
Right.
So I think that kind of gives at least a starting conversation for somebody. And yes, if you are starting off in this, that is the perfect time to have these conversations.
Yeah.
And to know what that is before you go into that interview.
For sure.
Because everybody here is going to have another interview at, you know, somewhere, or most will, unless you're Jerry Varner, who's been at the same place for
bless him.
forever. Yes. Yes. He came on the live, episode with us, and that was fun to have him there and talk about some things,
Nice. But
you know, cool. I think he's about to beat my, well, I think he's in one location. He's there longer than I've been in one location, which is amazing. But it's probably because, you know, he's on board with those things. But you know, it's a great conversation to have when, and to, but you have to do this work before you go right into that. And then, so as you're working with your youth group and your parents, we talked a little bit about this, but you know, are there some ways you have those conversations, or have you had those conversations where parents are like, "Hey, we value this," and they're not going to say it that way. They're going to say it like, "Why did you do this?" And,
right.
You know,
right.
"Why did you spend so much money on this," or whatever. They're not going to say that. Or that may even be something too. I'm throwing two questions at you. Pick one. Is how do you even with that? The parent becomes mad. It's obviously because they have a different value than you do.
Sure.
So how do you help maybe them understand that's a value, or how do you decipher their value out of that and help have some of those conversations?
Yeah. I think that's important to like so I have my personal values, right? And then we have our ministry values, and our ministry values for all Next Gen at my church is we'll make it safe. We'll proclaim the gospel. We'll bring the fun. We'll connect the family. And so if any parent usually has one that's off, it's probably the fun one. They're like, why is there such an emphasis on fun? And it's the same thing we have, and it's written out. So I can hand them the value statement and be like, this is why we do these things. This is why we have them ordered as such. This is blah, blah, blah. And so in Bring the Fun, it basically says, you know, life with Jesus is the best way to live. We believe that he offers us a full and abundant life. And one of the best ways to communicate that to kids and students is to have fun with them and show them that relationship with Jesus isn't boring. And it breaks down barriers to get them in the door so that they can hear the gospel. And usually, if you can articulate something that way, bring it back to the gospel, usually that diffuses the conversation and helps them understand it. Now, there's still going to be some people that just don't agree with that. There's some people that just don't think there should be any games or any fun or any laughing or any joy at church. And that's unfortunate, and it's hard. And those, you have to kind of say, hey, thank you for your feedback. We'll talk to you later, you know, and they're hard conversations. And I've literally had to tell an angry parent, not related to values, just related to a logistics situation, hey, I'm really sorry that this was your experience. There was nothing else I could do about it from that point. And so you just kind of have to let that conversation go where it may. And now if they find that their values aren't aligned with your church's values, they might choose to go somewhere else. And that always stings and it always hurts. And leadership's always going to have questions. But when you can say like, these are the values of the ministry that like you're on board with, and these were their values, and they don't line up, normally that helps to say, okay, let's help them find a place where they fit.
Well, I think that helps. Something I'm rethinking, you know, we need to do some work with that just in our church in general, because that make it easy, but it makes it where you can say, hey, this is not me making, I didn't make this rash decision. I'm doing things that I feel fit. Now, I may be wrong. I may have misjudged, or may have, you know, articulated that, or worked out of that. You know, I could have done that better, but these are the values I'm operating out of that we agreed to, that when you came on to either joined our church or joined our ministry or joined our, you know, Next Gen ministry or whatever it is, like you knew these were the values, right? And what you're saying kind of goes against that. Let's talk about those things.
Yeah.
What else on that? You know, you talked about how that helps you stay at a church for a while because your values are lined up. But I would think that having your personal values helps you just stay in ministry in general at any church or any ministry for a while. So what are some of the more benefits of that, and things that you see most people falling into that because you have these values set, you don't necessarily fall into those same traps that everybody else does?
Yeah, sure. For example, the value of integrity for me gives people permission to ask questions, right? So if they see something that even seems off, like, oh, hey, you were laughing a little bit longer than normal with that person over there, what's going on? I can say, oh, thank you for asking. I didn't notice. It was a really, really funny joke. You know, like if you see it continue, please continue, like, please let me know. And like, people will help you protect yourself from those situations. You know, same, I have a value of relationships. And so that means like the people on my staff, the people on my team, like they know that they can come to me with whatever. You know, I've told my staff over and over again, like, I value you higher than I value the job that you do. And so if you make a mistake, I want to be the first person that you come to, because we will figure out how to solve it. Now, keep making the same mistake over and over again, that conversation shifts. But at the same time, like, I want them to know that I put them as a person above their task list. And I want them to know that because I value relationships, because I value integrity, I want them to be honest with me about the mistakes that we make. We're going to work through it together and figure out what's the next step. And so I think that values like that really do help you stay longer, because they do, like you said, protect you from some of the pitfalls. Like if I feel like I can't go to my boss with a mistake, I'm going to sweep it under the rug. I'm going to hide it. And those things are going to stack up until that rug starts to look a little funny. And then it's all going to come out into the light. Right. So super thankful that those values really help protect me from those kind of pitfalls.
Yeah. And that's a good word again for next gen pastors, children's pastors, youth pastors, senior pastors, those who are listening to this, who will get a phone call they didn't imagine or think about and end up being senior pastors or whatever. because it does happen every once in a while, but, so you've talked about your values. One of the things that you mentioned though, at the beginning of the podcast, when we were kind of before we started recording, is that you are starting your own podcast. And so first of all, anything else that you want to say about values? And then I want you to tell us a little bit about what you're doing next.
Sure. And these, they can kind of like roll into each other. I do think it's super important to, identify your values. I love helping people do that. And I actually have all of that whole process organized into like an ebook that I give away for free on my website. So if you go to brandonhare.me/join, you can sign up for my email list and you'll get that values ebook totally free. We'll email it to you. It's the entire process, the prayer activity, like the list, all of it, just walks you through it step by step. So I would say there's no reason not to, there's no excuse. I promise not to blow up your inbox with my emails, but at any rate, it's just a free tool that I really like getting into people's hands and really want to help.
We'll make sure and put that in our link, as well. Awesome. Brett makes that, show notes to put those there. So that way they can go direct link. So what else you got? You have the ebook, but, you're doing some other exciting work. So tell us a little bit about you and what's going on, in your future.
Yeah. So one of my favorite things to talk about is just purpose. I love talking about purpose and helping people figure it out. And part of that comes from values, but at the same time, like I found that a lot of it comes from just super random stories. I did a little experiment with myself and started writing down any random story that I remembered from my childhood and, just kept them on a list. And I've got 97 stories on there right now. My goal is to have 100 before the middle of the year, but just keep jogging the old memory. But I've turned them into kind of a blog called This Awesome Life, where I talk about those stories and then what I learned through them and relate it back to scripture and how we can really help push people forward through our own personal stories. So I have that blog going. It's also brandonhare.me. And then starting May 22nd is when I'll have, when I'll launch the podcast. And the podcast is that same sort of concept. What can we learn through our own random personal stories? But it's other people. So I interview people who are in ministry. I've got some authors, got some pastors, got some other podcasters that are just sharing their personal stories and what they learned. One of my friends the other day was talking about, he ran in the NFL combine and was like one step away from getting drafted, didn't quite make it, and ran the same exact time twice, which never really happens. And it was just too short. And that's what kind of like led him to a place where he knew that God was calling him into ministry. That's a very shortened version of that story, but it'll be on the podcast. But so basically that was me inviting other people into that same process of like, hey, remember all of your awesome moments, all of your, you know, moments where God gave you some clarity, and let's just talk about it and what we can learn from it. So super excited for that to launch. And again, info for that is at brandonhare.me, and there's a link for podcast and it'll take you right to it. It's going to be available on all major platforms, and there's a preview episode there now.
Awesome. And so you, I think everything you said, brandonhare.me, is any other ways we can get a hold of you? Is that, I mean, I know you're on Instagram, and what are other ways that if somebody has questions about values or stories or purpose?
Yeah.
Are this how, any other ways to get a hold of you?
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. They're all, Brandon Hare. And then, you can email me if you want at brandon@brandonhare.me.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for joining us. I think we'll have to do another conversation in a year or so talking about purpose.
Yeah, I love it.
On that and stories. I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, those are universal in speaking to students and using stories and doing those things. So
absolutely.
Well, that's all we have. Thank you everyone else for joining us. Just a reminder, if you want to help us out, help Brandon out in his podcast, the same thing, like and share his podcast when it comes out. And for this one, do the same thing. You can also share this with all your friends and family and whoever else you want to listen to it at Talk Student Men. And finally, if you would want to be on the show like Brandon is today, you can reach out to us on social media or send us an email at podcast@studentministryconversations.org. We would love to set up a time. Everybody who comes on here, most are just regular guys doing ministry who like Brandon said, want to share a story or share something. And so this conversation has been a blast. And I'm excited for everybody to be able to hear this. They will have heard this because they've already, you know, listened to this episode. But we hope you have a great week, everybody else. And we'll see y'all next time.